And if you have your Bibles today, I want you to turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. As I said, I want to preach to you this morning. This just isn't a Bastrop campus update. I want to share a story to kind of set up where I'm going this morning. Last summer when the tornadoes hit Oklahoma, in Moore, Oklahoma, we sent a group up there to help out with the disaster relief. And I was fortunate enough to be able to lead some of our Bastrop campus people to Moore and work there and do some of the disaster relief. And while we were there, one of the neatest things that's ever happened in my life happened. Those of you who've never done disaster relief, basically your mission is to take someone's home, what is left of it, and move it to the edge of the street for a garbage truck to come pick it up. That's basically what it is. And if you've never seen what a tornado can do to a home, just imagine matchsticks just sitting on top of a foundation. That's what's left of people's homes. And while we were there, very rarely when you're there working on a home do you get a chance to meet a homeowner. But this particular day, the Bastrop campus guys, we were there, and the homeowner came, and she was there with her father. And it was the coolest thing what God began to do while she was there. We were there, and we immediately put down what we were doing and walked over there and hugged her neck, laid hands on her, and prayed for her, and encouraged her and her father, and tears began to fall down her eyes. Her family was completely safe, but her entire house was completely 100% destroyed. After we got through praying, we told her, hey, we love you, and we're about to head out. We're waiting on the truck driver to come pick us up. And she said, well, while y'all are waiting, can you do one thing for me? She said, during the tornado, I've lost my jewelry box, and in my jewelry box was my baby pictures and my wedding ring. And I'm going to be honest with you. She asked, she said, hey, do you mind just looking around for it? And I'm the skeptical one, okay? Like, I was like, oh, Lord, like, I began praying. My prayer was like this. Okay, God, you said your spirit would give me the words to say to comfort people. And right now, I need you to give me some words to comfort this lady because we ain't finding this wedding ring and these baby pictures. This is gone. And so, but I was leading well. I said, hey, guys, let's go out there and let's try to find this. And we're looking. I'm praying like, all right, God, I need some words to speak. And I'm not really finding any words to give to her to encourage her. And then I look to my right and one of our team members says, I found it. I'm like, what? You know, like, God, you're just showing off now. Like this tornado, I mean, there's cars and trees, and we're finding a little jewelry box. And we open up the jewelry box, and all of her baby pictures are in there, and her wedding ring is in there, and we're able to go over there, and we're able to give it to her. And man, tears just begin to fall from her eyes. And God taught me something that day that we all need to be reminded of today, and this is where I'm going this morning, is that God is at work for his people. Amen? God is at work for you today. He has not forgotten you. He has not forsaken you. God loves you and he is at work for you today. But how does God show his work? Through his people. Jesus is sending us to finish his work of changing the world through the gospel, and nothing can stop us. That's the sermon point today. No 3-point sermon, right? Call the convention, right? Somebody's going to get mad. 1-point sermon today. Is that cool with everybody? 1 point. And that's it. Jesus is sending us to finish his work of changing the world through the gospel, and nothing can stop us, church. Nothing can stop us. Let's look in Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The word of God says this. In the first book, O Theophilus, I've dealt with all that Jesus began to do. Circle the word began. Highlight the word began. Do whatever you got to do. Emphasize the word began, because that's an amazing word in this text this morning. In the first book, Theophilus, I've dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach. What's the first book Luke's talking about? The writer of Acts this morning. He's talking about the gospel of Luke. Scholars and New Testament guys who read the Bible a lot more than I do, they believe that the gospel of Luke and the book of Acts was originally a 2-volume, 1 work. And so Luke intended to read the book of Luke with the book of Acts. In Luke chapter 1, he talks to this guy named Theophilus. In Acts chapter 1, he's mentioning Theophilus again. And look what he's telling Theophilus. He says, I've dealt with all the things that Jesus began to do. What did Jesus do in the Gospel of Luke? Well, maybe an oversimplification this morning. His mission was to come to earth and save and change the world through his death and resurrection. Is that not what Jesus came to do in the Gospel of Luke? Throughout all the Gospels, he'd come, God, Jesus himself, had stepped out of heaven and became here to live a perfect life, to die on a cross in my place, in your place, and he did nothing less than his mission was to change the world. And did he not do that? Over 2,000 years later, we're still talking about him. That was the mission. And look at verse 2 and 3. He says, until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. Verse 3, he presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during the 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. So Jesus has come, and Luke is telling us what the book of Acts is all about. He's saying, here it is, church. The book of Acts is about this. Jesus is not done with what he started in the Gospels. He began his work in the Gospels, and he's going to complete it through the church. Before he ascended and he gave his disciples one command. It's in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. In the book of Acts, Jesus, we see Jesus now not being done with saving and changing the world. We see him finishing, and we see him giving his disciples the mission to continue his work. And you know what happens? They do it. They do it. Like today, here in the next 10 minutes, here's what we're going to go. I'm going to preach through the book of Acts this morning. You're like, oh Lord. If you have your Bibles, I want to show you that God's not done changing the world and transforming people. Let's jump into it. In Acts chapter 2, the Spirit falls and 3,000 people are transformed. 3,000 people. The church comes together and they begin to sell their possessions and take care of each other. So when Joe needs his bill paid for, Billy over here sold a boat so he could pay Joe's bill. That's what the church was doing back then. That's amazing. Acts 3, Peter and John heal a lame beggar, and the Bible says the gospel begins to expand. In the rest of chapter 3, Peter preaches at Solomon's portico because a theme in Acts, you know what one of the themes in Acts is? It's always great for a sermon. Right? It's always a good time to hear a sermon. Amen? Somebody amen me besides myself. Amen. I'll amen myself. It's always a great time for a sermon. Acts 4 and 5, Peter and John are arrested. And here's what's so cool. Prison bars cannot keep the gospel contained. Prison bars can't do it. Acts 6 and 7, Stephen is martyred. You know who Stephen is? Stephen is not a staff member. He is a normal guy in the church just like you are. Stephen preaches a sermon and they kill him. And here's the thing. Here's what I think Luke is trying to get us to see in the big picture of Acts is one that killing church members can't stop the gospel. Killing church members can't stop the gospel. Instead, you know what it does? The gospel, the opposite happens. It scatters outside of Jerusalem. And this is huge. Acts 8. Huge moment. For the first time, we see the Acts 1:8 promise fulfilled. This is so amazing. Philip shares the gospel with a Samaritan. Sound familiar? What was the promise? What was the command? You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. It's happening. Do you see that? It's happening. Jesus said, I command you, you're going to be my witnesses, and it's actually happening. Acts chapter 9, Paul was radically and instantly changed by Christ walking to Damascus. God breaks through the barrier of religion. Paul went to church more than you and I combined, and he missed Jesus. But God breaks through that and he saves him. And Paul immediately begins preaching about Jesus in the synagogues. Paul begins debating with Greek-speaking Jews all throughout Acts chapter 9. In Acts chapter 11, he did more than preaching. He relieves, and him and Barnabas are sent to send relief to other people. In Acts 13, amazing passage right here. For the first time, missionaries are sent in the history of the church. They go to Antioch and they send them out. They prayed, they fasted, they lay hands on men and sent them on their way. And here, in my opinion, is where things get really, really interesting and fun. Paul's first missionary journey. It lasted 2 years. Follow me. He walked over 1,200 miles to spread the gospel. The gospel throughout the book of Acts, it breaks all the barriers of technology. It breaks all the barriers of geography. The gospel expands from Jerusalem to Rome without planes, without trains, without automobiles, without Facebook, without internet. It travels from Jerusalem to Rome. Nothing can stop this thing. Do you guys understand that the church, it never should have gotten outside of Jerusalem? Humanly speaking, there's no way this could have happened. This should have happened. But it does. Acts 13, Paul witnesses to a governor on the island of Cyprus. Sergius Paulus is his name. The word of God tells us this governor believed and was astonished at what he learned about the Lord. Acts 13 at Perga, Paul went to the synagogue and preached. The people, listen, this is so cool. The people were so impressed with Paul's teaching, they asked him to come back next week. That's pretty good, right? The following week, the Bible tells us almost the entire city turned out to hear them preach the word of the Lord. The Bible tells us the Lord's message spread throughout that region. Acts 1:8 is happening. Acts 14, in Iconium, Paul went to the synagogues and preached. The people in Iconium, they were mean. They did not like Paul. They did not like the message. A mob of people decided to stone Paul and Barnabas. So Paul and Barnabas, they leave there and they go to Lystra and Derbe. In Acts 14, Paul heals a crippled man. Before long, the mean people catch up with him there. They catch up with him. They stone Paul and drag him outside of the city. They thought he was dead. But guess what Paul does? He gets back up and goes back to the same people. That's when I would have quit. Okay? Like, that's when I'd been like, I'm it. That's it, God. Like, I'm done, right? I get stoned. I got rocks thrown at me for this thing. I'm going back home. I'm done. This is too hard. In Derbe, Paul appoints elders in every church. Acts 15, Paul and Barnabas correct the teaching of men who were distorting the gospel. Second missionary journey comes on in Acts chapter 16. Lasted 2.5 to 3 years. 2,700 miles covered. 1,200 by sea. 1,400 by land. In Acts 16, Paul and Silas journey back to Lystra and Derbe, where they meet this young guy named Timothy, which the book of the Bible is named after. In Acts 16, one of my favorite stories in the book of Acts. This is so cool. Hey, y'all, this isn't boring, okay? Like, this is cool. We're boring, not the Bible, okay? This is so cool. They make it to Philippi. This is huge. For the first time in the history of the world, a church is on European soil. It's amazing. Three people get saved while at Philippi. A woman, a rich woman named Lydia, a demon-possessed girl, and a Roman jailer. Okay, so follow this with me. Lydia, a rich woman, a millionaire, a demon-possessed girl, and a Roman jailer. Guess what they have in common? Nothing. That's the point. That's what Luke is trying to say, is that this message, this gospel is for everybody. It's for all people. Whether you're rich, poor, doesn't matter what color you are, this message that Jesus began to do in the gospel of Luke, he is continuing to do in and through the church. Man, I'm preaching to myself this morning. Acts 16, same place, Paul and Silas cast out a demon. I just said that. Jesus didn't say it was going to be an easy mission. While in prison, they start singing songs and hymns. They get arrested for preaching Jesus, and they're not groaning and cussing. They're worshiping. Wow. Lord, I want to be that way. Paul, at 17, Paul and Silas traveled to Thessalonica, where they preached the gospel in the synagogue. Some of the Jewish believers did not like this. And they made statements like this, church, listen to me. They made statements like this about these men who carried the gospel. They said, these men are turning the world upside down. I pray that would be said of North Monroe. Amen? I pray that would be said of this church. That we would turn the world upside down for Jesus. Acts 17, Paul and Silas go to Berea. They preach in the synagogues. The Bible tells us this is cool. They search the scriptures day after day to check up on Paul and Silas to see if they were really teaching the truth. As a result, many Jews believed. And at 17, Paul and Silas go to Athens, preach and teach to the philosophers there. The Bible says when they begin to preach the gospel to the people in Athens, guess what happens to them? They get laughed at. This mission will cost you your social status, friends. You might as well just kiss it goodbye. You're going to get laughed at. Acts 18, Paul then travels to Corinth. He preaches each day at the synagogue. While there, the Bible says Crispus, the leader of the synagogue, and his entire household get saved. Acts 18, Paul returns to Antioch to report about a second missionary journey, third missionary journey. Traveled over 2,500 miles, 1,100 by sea, 1,300 by land. in Acts 19 in Ephesus. Paul teaches about the Holy Spirit. He spends 2 years in Ephesus preaching and building the church there. In Acts 20, Paul goes to Macedonia and Greece. And this is so cool. The Bible says along the way, he encouraged the believers. His mission trip didn't start when his feet hit the mission field. It was everywhere he went was his mission field. Along the way, everywhere he went, that was his mission. Paul, okay, the Bible's funny, right? Y'all know that? Y'all know the Bible's really funny sometimes? In Acts 20, one of the funniest stories in the Bible has happened. Paul visits a city called Troas. The Bible says he preaches till midnight. Y'all want to do that? Y'all good? I can do it. Y'all good? I'm just kidding. But here's what's funny. He preaches till midnight. This is in the Bible. I told you, like, we're boring, not the Bible. He's preaching till midnight, and a guy falls asleep. Check me up on this. The guy falls out the window and dies. I don't know why that's funny, but that makes me laugh. And I guess it makes me funny because I know the rest of the story. Like, Paul goes down, brings the guy back to life. Hey, bro, if you ever do that again in my sermon, this isn't going to end well, okay? So get back up. So Paul, this is how this happened. Paul heals the guy. I mean, heals him, brings him back to life, puts him back, sits back down, says, okay, what I was saying was dot, dot, dot. Like, how do you just move on past that? I don't know, but it happens. Acts 21, that was worth coming today, right? Amen. In Caesarea, the believers begged Paul not to go to Jerusalem. They were afraid he was going to be jailed. They would have said stuff like, Paul, it's going to be dangerous there. Paul, it's not going to be, man, it may be scary and dangerous over there. Paul says, hey, I'm ready to not only be jailed at Jerusalem, but also to die for the sake of Christ. Acts 21, Paul's arrested in Jerusalem. Acts 22, Paul does something really revolutionary. He shares his testimony and people get saved. Acts 23, before the high council, Paul stares at the high priest. He stares him in the face and calls him a whitewashed wall. That's called boldness. And how I wish I had it. Acts 26, Paul is sent to King Agrippa to defend his case. They call him crazy. They call him insane. They say he needs to be in a loony bin. And Paul says, I'm not insane. I'm just speaking the sober truth. Acts 27 and 28, Paul sent to Rome to appeal his case to Caesar. On his way there, he incurred strong headwinds, rough sailing, horrible weather, food shortage, shipwreck, and finally a snake bit him. That's when I would have quit too. Really, Lord? A snake? I'm out here sharing the gospel and carrying it everywhere for you, and I get bit by a snake? I would have been done. They spent 3 months on the island of Malta before they reached Rome. While on Malta, Paul just continues to preach and heal sick people. Acts 28, in Rome, Paul's under house arrest. He preached to the local Jewish believers. People would come to his house, and Paul would tell them about the kingdom of God. Summary of Paul's missionary's journey. Home dude walked 6,400 miles in 11 years. He was put in stocks, beaten with rods, stoned, left for dead, starving, snake bitten. But it was all worth it. It's so interesting to read this book because, listen to me, a group of men, much smaller in number than the people in this church, changed the world. Jesus is sending us to finish the work of changing the world through the gospel. And church, listen to me, nothing's going to stop us. Nothing can stop us. And in application today, and in closing, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get your Bibles, and I want you to go to Acts chapter 29. I want you to go to Acts chapter 29. Go to Acts 29. It's Matthew, Mark, Luke, Acts, then Romans, Acts chapter 29. Did you find it? Oh, because it's not there. Because here's the deal, church, listen to me. You know where Acts 29 is? It's in this room. Jesus is still at work in and through his church, and he is sending us to change the world through the gospel, and nothing's going to stop us. The acts of the church are still happening. God is still using us, and we need to realize that today. He's sending us. He is a God who sends people. And in the same way Jesus called his disciples to finish the work he began, he's calling us. At our Bastrop campus, two or three weeks ago, we baptized a woman who had never made her faith public. She just made her faith public, and God's beginning to work in her life. Last week, there was an 8-year-old that got baptized to place his faith in Jesus. When he was first born, he was born premature. He was 2 pounds, 14 ounces. God saved him when he was an infant, and then God saved him again when he was 8. Jesus is sending us to change this world. And have you ever thought this might be is what is missing from your walk with Jesus? Maybe you just come to church, go to life group, and that's all there is, and you're beginning to get bored with it. Have you ever thought this is what is missing from your faith? I want to get real practical this morning. Life group leaders, have you ever thought this might be what's missing from your life group? You meet together, you fellowship really well together, but you just feel like there's something missing. Maybe it's because you're not on mission. Maybe it's because you're so inward focused. And here's what I want to challenge you today. Man, get with Pastor Ashburn and find a ministry in this community to love on and to share and to share the gospel and to spread the gospel. I mean, you're going to see God move in amazing ways. Individuals, have you ever thought that this might be what's missing from your job? How many of you dreading to go to work tomorrow? Don't raise your hand. Your boss might be here. Have you ever thought this might be what's missing at 8:30? I mean, I dream of a church that get more excited about 8:30 Monday morning than Sunday morning at 11. Have you ever thought that where do you have to be at 8 in the morning? Just think about it right now. Where do you have to be? Here's what God told me to tell you today. He's sending you there to be on mission for Him. Students, imagine if you woke up tomorrow with the mindset your school isn't a prison, it's a mission field. God's sending you there. College students, what if you guys viewed biology not as a boring class, but what if you guys viewed it as a mission field where God is sending you to be a witness and someone to teach and preach what the Bible says about it? What if God's sending you there? Stay at home mom. God wants to use you. What if your kitchen tomorrow morning is where God is sending you? To love on your kids and to share the gospel with them and be a witness to them. That's your mission. Construction worker, I'm getting everybody today. God is sending you to that construction site. To not just build a building, but build the kingdom. Doctors, God is sending you to those hospitals tomorrow morning. Not just to heal physically, but to bring spiritual healing. Man, I'm jealous of doctors. Y'all can do healing physical and spiritual. Amazing. Our neighborhoods we live in is a place God has sent us to proclaim His good works. And believers this morning, let's talk about the world. Do you pray for the world this morning? That God is ascending God and I just want to add, do you pray for the salvation of people in Dominican Republic and Haiti and Thailand and Africa and Kenya? I mean, do you pray for people to know Jesus over there? We're commanded to. And I do the best I can every day that I wake up not to picture our Bastrop campus as a place I go to work, but picture it as a place where God is sending me every day. Jesus is sending us to finish His work of changing the world through the gospel, and nothing can stop us. Some believe these were Paul's last words. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 7 says this: "For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come." Listen to what he says. "I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith." Man, I pray that said of me one day when I'm dead, that dude worked. That dude worked to build the kingdom. He fought the good fight. He finished the race. And church members, I love you. You know what I dream about? I dream of being a part of a church who's known more for what happens Monday through Saturday than what happens on Sunday morning. Man, I dream about that. I pray for that. Do you? Will you dream with me? Will you pray with me? Will you get to work with us? Let's get to work and change Monroe. Let's change Monroe. Let's change the world. Like, Jordy, man, whoa, time out, dude. Like, preacher boy, calm down. No, like, let's do this. The work Jesus began is not finished. There's plenty of work to be done. Let's get after it. Colossians 1, chapter 28, verse 29. Paul says this. He says, "Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone, so that we may present them mature in Christ." And he says this, "For this I toil." Believers, let's toil for the kingdom tomorrow. Let's work for the kingdom tomorrow. Did you know that we are God's plan? And He is sending us to change the world through the gospel, and nothing can stop you. Nothing can stop you. I pray that you would get on mission every day, everywhere you go, you're on mission. Everywhere you go. Let's pray. Father, we love you. And I thank you for the opportunity to share. God, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you that you have promised us that your church is going to advance and the kingdom is going to be built and nothing can stop us. God, I pray that today our hearts would be like Lydia, who in Philippi, the Bible says, the Lord just opened her heart. God, open our hearts to missional living today, God. That we're everywhere we go, we're going to be on mission for Christ because you're sending us to that place. God, open our hearts. God, I pray that right now, in this room, hearts are being opened. God, I pray in the East right now, God, hearts are being opened to this, Lord, that we would turn from building our kingdoms and turn to building the kingdom that will last forever. God, I pray that you would open hearts to that right now. Empower us with your Spirit to do that. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.